The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Super Tuesday. Wet Tuesday, too. And good thing that a couple of events that have been scheduled for today were canceled slash postponed. Auburn baseball and softball not playing because it's pretty nasty outside right now. So be careful if you're out and about. Looks like nice weather after this stuff moves on through here today. So tomorrow everything should be able to be good. So welcome in, everybody. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill here in the studio. Drew is a little under the weather. Speaking of the weather, Drew a little under the weather. Dan joining me here in the studio. So we're with you today. It's Dan's last day before he heads out, and he's got a road trip and then conference tournament basketball coming up. So he'll be out for the rest of the week. Don Dunn said he will be coming in. So I think we got it covered.
I was ready, Bill, to have a week with Auburn Air Force baseball and All Elite Wrestling and the Sun Belt Tournament. So women's basketball.
You could still do it all. I mean, you'd catch some of the baseball. You'd have to probably
tomorrow's
leave it early.
Tomorrow's going to be a tough one for baseball.
So 1 o'clock first pitch tomorrow.
I appreciate our buddy Tex offering his tickets, but my schedule may prevent me from
priorities, man. It's priorities.
Yeah, I may not be able to do that one. So,
all right. So, speaking of Auburn Air Force baseball for tomorrow, we have some tickets. The first caller who would like a pair of tickets for that baseball game tomorrow over at Plainsman Park, they are yours. Speaking of calling, 334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline presented by Skybar.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And they also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to your favorite podcast. Go to Apple or Spotify and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. Again, the podcasts are presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Shout out to Derek, as always, and the good folks there at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
All right, so we mentioned the phone line, and Ed is in early.
How about it? What's up, Ed?
Hey, excuse me. Hey, guys. Yes, it is. It's kind of a rainy day. I'm at East Alabama Medical all day. A friend of mine's having a procedure, and it's just takes all day. But I was going to, both of you, Dan, Bill, it's good to talk to you. I was going to ask you, I keep seeing, and I had asked, and it's not that I don't trust Jacob, but he sounded a little uncertain. But between the two of y'all, I trust you for sure. Is everything okay with Kay and Lee? Is he at Auburn? Is everything okay there? Do y'all know?
So honestly, Ed, the first time I heard about any question with Kay and Lee was from your call yesterday, right? You asked us.
I didn't. This isn't a rumor thing. This is something that I read that.
I'm not accusing you of making it up. Sir. I'm just saying I was unfamiliar with what's going on. I've since learned that there had been reports, and you know, I want to let Bill jump in here.
But. Yeah, there was a report, I believe, on the Sports Illustrated site, which is, you know, and people go, well, it's Sports Illustrated. This is a national. No, this is something by someone who writes something. Sports Illustrated has now changed completely. It was an article about playing time for certain players, and in it was mentioned, it just said, with Kay and Lee having already left the program. But this was written before we went out and saw practice, and I asked some folks that looked at defense, and Kay and Lee was at practice after the story was written.
So there's a chance the writer got Kay and Lee mixed up with someone who did leave the program. I forget which defensive backs went into the portal, but I think Auburn lost at least one in the transfer portal since the season ended.
He's a future superstar, and I'm super glad to see him. I'm excited about a lot of the guys.
I do think
about this spring,
Ed. But, you know, with the addition of the defensive back from Alabama, Antonio Kite, right? Like there is a chance that maybe if there's a defensive back, and I'm not predicting this necessarily, but if there's a defensive back who isn't in line for a lot of playing time coming out of the spring, especially one of the younger guys. If Champ or Kayan or J.D. Rim just seems buried on the depth chart.
Or guys like, you know, Tyler Scott or, you know, some of those guys.
Sure.
But no.
Wouldn't y'all think that Kayan would be one of the least ones? Because he did how well he did.
You would expect he'd be in line.
Let him go.
Seems to me like there's a ton of playing time in line for Keyonte, Kayan, J.D. Rim, and Champ Anthony. Like now that could change.
They may not all be corners either.
They may not all be corners, and that could change based on who else is in the competition too.
Yeah.
But I would think those are four guys who you saw on the field a lot last year that look like they're going to be on the field more. Keyonte was on the field virtually every snap when he was healthy, but the other three guys were situational. I think they could take a jump forward to not just being situational.
Yeah, and Keyonte coming back, you know, that was a big thing. Yeah, you know, that I was so glad that he came back this year because, you know, it's kind of a question for me.
Considering they'd lost four other guys that, decided to go ahead and take a shot at the NFL.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Ed. Yeah. Take care, and hopefully things go well for your friends or family over there at EAMC.
I'm sure the next time that Auburn writers get to see practice, that the defensive backs and who's out there will be. Although, you know, like you said, the guys said they saw Canley the last.
Well, time. I read a couple of folks after that call yesterday, because I'd nearly forgotten about that. I saw that. And I asked Jason, and then we'd asked Brian yesterday, and they both said, nah, he's still around. One of them had said they'd seen him around the complex. But then, I watched offense. I watched the quarterbacks and the receivers last week when we got a chance on Tuesday. And there were two or three different folks who watched the defense who specifically mentioned, you know, Kayan running with the in the first two rotations, for sure.
I feel like I've asked you this before. Does Kite project like a guy who plays a lot immediately?
Yes, does.
Okay, that's something.
Because he was running some with the first two groups as well.
Yeah, because I wondered about that, and I think I'm not gonna name names or anything, but when he signed or right after he signed, there was talk of he might take a year developing while Auburn leans on the guys that were on last year's team. And, you know, I had some other people who had seen Antonio Kite as a recruit, and they saw him in spurts last year in Alabama, and they said, no, Auburn is getting someone that you should expect to be maybe a starter when the season starts, which would be a huge, you know. And I don't know exactly how the depth chart, you know, we just talked about a defensive back. I don't know exactly how things slot, but maybe Antonio Kite is the addition with those four returners along with him as your primary options.
Yeah, and the guys that were out there and Auburn, I didn't watch the defense, but the folks that did, talking about the players that were lined up at corner/nickel, whatever, that were covering receivers, were Kay and Lee, Antonio Kite, Keyonte Scott, Champ Anthony, J.D. Rim, and J.C. Hart. There's...
Now, you didn't... How much did J.C. actually play last year?
He did not. Yeah, so he redshirted last year.
So he would be the one that's sort of a bit of a...
Well, you've got Colton Hood and Todder Scott. There are a lot of young guys. There's not as much experience.
Wooden's more of a safety.
Caleb's definitely a safety.
Caleb's a safety. Doesn't really fit with those guys.
Yeah, and then Sylvester Smith is another youngster who's a safety. Jaron Thompson coming in is expected to be a safety or a nickel. So Auburn's got a lot of guys, a lot of young guys. I mean, I think there's talent there. It's just going to be interesting to see, you know, how Charles Kelly and Crime Dog, you know, work them.
Who do you have at the top of the safety depth chart for you?
Right now, I had I'm expecting Laquan Robinson, the junior college transfer, right, to be there, but I don't have him at the top yet. The way I did it
also
is
putting somebody who didn't go through spring is a tough one too, right? Or is he?
He's going through spring. But what the way I start my spring depth chart is the guys who played the most at a position at the top of the depth chart, and then players who redshirted behind them, and I'll put the newcomers at the bottom, but I expect Laquan Robinson to move up. So, I mean, I've got Caleb Wood and Jaron Thompson and Laquan Robinson are probably three of the top guys there at the two safety spots.
So I am, as you mentioned, I am out for most of this week. I'm headed to Atlanta tomorrow with the Wrestle Buds, you know, the guys in the mm-hmm. beat that enjoy professional wrestling. I did record an interview earlier today with AEW superstar Swerve Strickland, sports fan, fascinating guy, recording artist.
Now you said he's a Washington fan, UW fan,
no,
right?
No, so he's a Seattle guy.
Oh, okay.
But he grew up preferring more California pro teams.
Oh, okay.
And so he's a Rams and Dodgers fan who's had some favorite NBA players as well. But really interesting guy, and was part of a big show. If there's time, you know, we can run that. We also have, you know, more germane things, so this thing may have.
Well,
to,
I mean, it's I mean,
the shows
well.
Are, you know, I, what I want to do is because they've given me some time with Swerve, which was great.
Because they've given you credentials,
and they've credentialed me for tomorrow night's event, which is very nice. So I want to say shout out to AEW and the Gas South Arena in Duluth, AWTIX.com. If you want to go to Wednesday or Thursday night's show in Atlanta, it's a really good time. We've been to AEW shows before. It's on TBS on Wednesday nights. That's Dynamite. Collision is the show on Saturday nights on TNT. They're going to record that on Thursday night. If you go to the Thursday night show, it's a taping for Saturday. But yeah, it's a good time. AEW has been putting on I think their fifth year anniversary is coming up later this year.
Wow.
since the show premiered on TBS and TNT, and it's been you'll see a lot of AEW promotion during the NCAA tournament because it's become one of TBS and TNT's mm-hmm. higher rated things, and it's a fun show. So I'm gonna check that out tomorrow, and then it's time for the conference tournament, Pensacola Beach. How about the Trojans putting us up on the beach?
Oh, is that right?
Pensacola, that's right. So I will have an ocean view from the room.
Well, that also, you know what that also means. Well, you're not. Are you going to be driving or are you going to be riding with the team?
I will be driving myself because on Thursday.
You got a sun pass?
I've got
because without a sun pass, you're going to be paying the toll every time you go back and forth.
I have
the beach.
Dad's sun pass,
okay,
I could make the. I got to go through Montgomery tomorrow and pick that up, or I can.
So you got one that's interchangeable?
Yeah, we've got one. We've got one of the old school.
Yeah,
we've
yeah. Because one we have is on one vehicle. Make sure we have that one vehicle when we're going to go drive in Florida.
Yeah, we've got the beepers, and I've also I could go through for old time's sake on Thursday. I could go through Niceville, and then you know it would add probably
still when you get out to the other side of the beach, you're still going to have to pay.
Well, isn't there a way to get from 98?
There
to,
used to be.
Oh, is that, oh
not,
wow,
not anymore. I don't think
because Google was if you can ask Google Maps to show you a way
without tolls.
And what I was shown was.
I don't know.
Although if you don't go, if
one,
you go without,
one of the ways that I used to go that when you go down to Navarre, you got to go past Navarre.
Yes, that is yes. So they were
so saying, maybe you can if you go past Navarre.
I mean, and coming from Fort Walton Beach, you know, if you go down to Crestview and then Fort Walton Beach and go
come
down,
along like, Old Highway. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, maybe. But apparently that would add an extra half hour to the trip if you don't want to pay
a buck and a half.
So, yeah. I'll bring some. I'll round up some change or find the sun pass.
Sun pass is your best bet.
Look, and the event itself for the Sun Belt. is at the Bay Center in Pensacola, cool venue, a hockey arena much of the time.
They're
now
pretty good for concerts too.
Good for concerts. I've seen I've seen professional wrestling there, as a matter of fact, years ago. So it's a that's a really cool place to return to. Trojans playing well. Last year, Troy lost like 5 of 6 down the stretch. You know, had a 2-game lead in the conference tournament race, and it slipped away. They didn't win the thing, and then they got eliminated in the first round. Lost to the buzzer at the end of the regular season. Lost in the first round of the conference tournament. A promising season sort of fizzled out at the end. This year's team, I don't know what's going to happen in Pensacola, but they're playing their best basketball right now. Maybe the two best
games. Yeah, that's what you want.
Maybe the two best games they played all season were the ones they just played in league play this week and scored 100-plus points in both of them, which is not tremendously, not super easy.
No, that doesn't happen all the time.
No, I think there were only a handful of games in the Sun Belt this year, league play, where a team broke 100 points, and two of them were Troy's games this past week. So they seem to be hitting their stride. Talking with Coach Rigby yesterday, she said, seniors seem really locked in and recognizing that this is the last ride. Like this is their chance to put up a banner and solidify themselves as champions. And seemingly they're going to take advantage of that opportunity. So looking forward to heading down to Pensacola, and the game is Friday night on ESPN Plus. Troy taking on as yet undetermined opponent. Two teams will play tomorrow to decide. It's a Louisiana and Arkansas State pair of teams that Troy swept in the regular season. Will play tomorrow to decide who is the who's the opponent for Troy on Friday night.
All right, we will get to our first break of the afternoon. That was pretty cool how I did that. We'd love for you to join in again. You've heard the numbers. 334-321-1390 is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and we'll be back. Terry will join us, so stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this sort of just steady drizzle.
You're okay with it?
Tuesday afternoon. I don't mind it.
You're okay
I don't
with
mind it.
Yeah.
Well, I got some things done. Had some plants we'd overwintered, and it was time to give them a pruning. And yeah, sure, a little water doesn't hurt. It's not going to be terribly cold. It's about as cold as it's going to get. I noticed the forecast for today, like the high was going to be 65 and the low 58 or something like that. So I mean, it's going to stay around 60. Day and night before the rain gets out of here. Again, the weather should be fine by tomorrow afternoon when Auburn and Air Force play baseball over at Sanford Stadium, Hitchcock Field at Plainsman Park. If you'd like a couple of tickets, just let us know when you call in 334-321-1390. And the first person that wants a pair of tickets, we will set you up with those for tomorrow.
And you got hoops tonight.
Absolutely.
As well. Auburn's final road game of the regular
win.
Season.
I mean, and Auburn, a double-digit favorite at Columbia, Missouri, against the winless in conference. That's unbelievable to think.
Yeah.
0-16 Missouri Tigers.
What kind of heat is on a coach year two if he throws up a winless season in conference play?
Really, really
hot. Do you make a change in year two?
Because they
won a tournament game last year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it all depends on what you've got coming in, what you feel like you have coming back.
It's got to be tough, though. Very tough. And look, we've seen teams in college basketball get up off the mat and have a terrible year and then bounce back and have a much better year. You can reshuffle the deck. You can find new pieces. That's going to be a really, I mean.
Missouri has had chances to win some games. Yeah. It's just they haven't been able to finish.
Yeah, Bruce was talking about how they've been in a lot of their losses, and it just hasn't gone their way. And he will be, I'm sure that Bruce will be nervous the longer tonight's game is close because they're at home. It's senior night.
Is it an advantage or disadvantage on the road when you're playing an 8 o'clock game? Of course, I wonder what the crowd's going to be like, too. It is senior night.
I'll tell you, you want a prediction? I looked at it for Ferguson because he's going to be there.
What, the cost of tickets or something?
Yeah,
maybe?
I looked up the secondary market.
I heard you can pretty much ask and they're yours.
There are multiple, there are actual like seats for a dollar on the services, and you could sit very close to the court for about $25-$30 is what it was saying. Yeah. I told Ferguson he should buy a courtside seat for like $30 and cover the game from there instead of his, because I don't know where they put the press.
Yeah, that's right. But probably not as close.
You know, I told him wear an Auburn Observer shirt. And it's probably going to pay off as far as his $30 investment, since he's already making the trip. So maybe Ferguson takes my advice and sits courtside tonight. We'll see. But no, it is if you're in the St. Louis, Columbia, Missouri area listening to this before tonight's game, and you weren't planning on going, tickets, yeah, very cheap. So I do wonder what kind of crowd we're going to have.
And you know what? What else we're going to do here in just a little bit? We're gonna check in with Andy Burchard.
That's right. He'll have a courtside seat.
Yeah, we will talk to him here in just a little bit. But first, let's get back to the drive hotline and Terry. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. How y'all doing today?
Doing all right, Terry. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to y'all as always, guys. I know I've asked you this question before, but I'm gonna ask you again. What was the quarterback's name at Auburn that Harsin ran off and he went to Huntsville? I think somewhere.
Are you talking about the one from the player from Texas?
Yes, from the Houston area.
Oh yeah,
I remember his name. Oh man, yeah,
undersized but really athletic and really good arm. Golly, I'm blanking on his name right now.
I was wondering if he might be a factor in the quarterback race right now. Would Peyton Thorne even be at Auburn if he was there?
I mean, he was undersized. It was just the thing was. I mean, was that D. Davis?
Yeah, sure was. Yeah, Demetrius.
D. Davis, and he left started nine games at Alabama State. He is I think he's still at Alabama State going into the 24 season. I don't know for sure. But I was always I thought it would have been a really cool story if D. Davis emerged as a real threat, but I always was a little bit suspicious of just it's tough to. We're seeing more undersized quarterbacks make impacts, but around college football or even the NFL. But it's still a lot to overcome at that size.
I think we got more of a shot with Hugh Freeze and Brian Harsin. I promise you that.
Yeah, I mean, he might have been more of a fit for what Hugh Freeze is doing.
Yeah, I would think
than Harsin. I think there is something to that, but it still would have been I think the deck was kind of stacked against him.
And on the basketball guys, do you think Alabama's walking into a hornet's nest tonight? I do. I think Florida knows it was right there.
Yes, absolutely. Florida is a team nobody wants any part of, I don't think, right now, and especially down in Gainesville.
And they're big and they're long. I just don't think it's a very good matchup for Alabama.
No, I don't. I think Florida can be a dangerous matchup for a lot of teams.
Well, the teams at the top of the league are a tough, and Alabama's beaten a couple of them, but the teams at the top of the league are a tough matchup for Alabama because they can score. And teams that can really score have been able to. I mean, Alabama does not. The metrics would tell you, and this does not mean Alabama won't go to the Final Four, because they very well could. I don't know how the bracket's going to go. The metrics would tell you, usually teams that defend like Alabama don't go
right
to the Final Four. Usually they run into trouble in the NCAA tournament. The teams in the SEC defending like Final Four teams of late are Auburn and Tennessee. You could throw Florida into that mix at their best. Kentucky has had games at their best where they're able to look like a Final Four team on both ends of the floor. Now Alabama can try to outscore teams, and they might win
the number one offense in the nation.
Yeah, they might win the SEC regular season title doing it. But it's a strategy that is the odds are against that. Working even for a highly seeded Alabama team potentially in the NCAA tournament. And I agree with you, Terry. I think tonight would be a championship level win for Alabama in Gainesville.
Well, if you told me they were going to hold Tennessee to 36% shooting Saturday night, I thought they would have won.
Oh, sure. I mean, if you'd shown me Auburn's numbers, we made this point on the Observer podcast. If you'd just shown me Auburn's numbers from the Tennessee game. Like, if the only thing I got to see...
Yeah, you would have thought Auburn's offensive numbers?
Yes, if all you saw was the Auburn box score.
Then you figure Auburn wins. If you see Alabama's defensive numbers against Tennessee, you think Alabama wins.
Yeah, but they didn't.
And then Tennessee won both of them. That tells you something about Tennessee.
And that tells you... I recognize how good UConn is. Reigning national champion, bringing back a lot of starters, a lot of production from last year's team, destroyed everyone they faced in the tournament. If I was filling out... Joe Lenardi's bracket, like it was the real bracket right now, I would take Tennessee far. Like I don't know how far.
I think Tennessee has, you know, the capability of going very, very deep.
They got the horses.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Gary.
Take care.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll check in with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, on the other side. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Thousands of Lee County residents trust attorney Barbie Agricola every day with all their legal needs. With the Lee County District Judge election quickly approaching, who better to tell you the right candidates for the job than Barbie herself?
Hey, Lee County, this is attorney Barbie Agricola. The most important thing for the next Lee County judge is to have a judge who is ethical and experienced. That's why I am endorsing Clay Thomas and Harold Morris. Clay and Harold have the experience to do the job with integrity. So vote for Clay or Harold on March 5th to keep Lee County in honest hands.
Paid for by Agricola Law.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew a little under the weather. I don't think it's because of the weather we're having today, but Drew, hopefully we'll be back tomorrow when Dan is gone and Don Dunn will be in. But right now, it's Tuesday, and we're pleased to be joined by the voice of the Auburn Tigers from Como, from Columbia, Missouri, where it's a battle of the Tigers tonight. Auburn looking to continue to try to be a team that can get a double bye in the SEC tournament and maintain a high postseason seeding for the NCAA tournament. Missouri still looking for their first SEC win tonight on senior night as we welcome in Andy Burcham. Andy, how you doing today?
Bill, I'm doing just fine. Thank you. Looking forward to this game, in spite of the fact that it's an 8 o'clock game
right
tonight. I'll be interested to see the crowd tonight here in Columbia. They've had good crowds. I mean, you take a look at the scores that this Missouri team, and yes, they're still looking for their first SEC win, and they have kept it close against everybody. And it's amazing how, and this is going to sound odd, how well this team has played in spite of the fact that it has not won. I think it's a credit to the players, certainly, that they continue to play as hard as they have. And this game concerns Bruce Pearl. It concerns me going in. Part of it for me is because of the fact that they're still looking for that first win, Bill. But it's also because the team that Auburn brought here 2 years ago that won the SEC championship, if not for the last 2 minutes of play by Katie Johnson, Auburn doesn't win that ball game against Missouri. And this is a Missouri team that is 1 year removed from making it to the semifinals of the SEC tournament and winning their first round game in the NCAA tournament, like for the first time in 13 years. Now, they have dealt with some severe season-ending injuries that I think has really affected this Missouri team as far as the talent that it has. But this game concerns this team, and I'm fascinated to see how well Auburn plays tonight and what kind of start Auburn gets off to on the road, because that has been, if you look at the loss to Mississippi State, you look at the loss at Florida, and you look at the loss at Tennessee, all three of those games, Auburn just didn't get off to a very good start. Now, Auburn came back and had chances in each of those games other than perhaps Florida. But I think a quick start, a good start, at least a good start tonight is absolutely imperative for Auburn.
And this is an Auburn team that has won more games by double digits this season than anyone else in Division I college basketball. They have not necessarily played down to opposition. When they've had the advantage on a team, they've been able to step on the gas and pull away ultimately. I wonder, in spite of that, I wonder if getting a team to take an 0-16 team like a very real threat is a concern for Bruce Pearl to make sure these guys understand a lot of what you were just saying, Andy, how dangerous this Missouri team will be, how desperate they will be in their final home game on a season where they you know, to say things haven't gone as expected is a serious understatement.
Dan, we'll find out. You know, I think you can say it. You can try and impress upon college basketball players the importance of this game and just how well this team has played against everybody, including Tennessee, which, you know, I mean, Missouri nearly beat in Columbia. And I think Tennessee right now is the team that's playing better than anybody in our league at this point. But we'll find out tonight. That's all I can say. We'll find out tonight how much this Auburn team, you know, is locked in against this squad. And the point you made, I think, is really a good one. And I think for the most part, it's lost on a lot of people. When Auburn wins, Auburn dominates.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn wins by double figures. Now, teams may make a run, but Auburn finds that final gear to pull away, like we saw Saturday against Mississippi State. Auburn needs to get off to a good start tonight. That is one of Auburn's big keys, especially on the road in this league, is getting off to, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, an outstanding, just get off to a decent start in the ball game. Get into the ball game tonight. As Bill mentioned, it is their senior night tonight. I understand they're going to be, even with an 8 o'clock game, we understand they're doing senior night after the game tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's going to be a late senior night. That's what we've been told anyway. So, and I just wonder what the crowd's going to be like. An 8 o'clock game on a Tuesday night for a team that hasn't won a game in the league. Will it be a big crowd like we have seen almost every time we've come to Columbia, or will that crowd be, you know, be a little bit light tonight? We'll find out.
Well, we were just talking about it before we went to break, and Dan reiterating what I'd heard, and that's there's some tickets available for $1. There's some courtside seats that are around $25. So
the price has moved a little bit, but I checked it while we were taping the Observer podcast, and there were a lot of on a couple of the secondary market sites. There were a lot of $1 and $2 tickets available to this game. I think those have, you know, a lot of those have gone away seemingly, but it did seem like there was an opportunity for folks to check it out, which would have you wondering about what kind of crowd you're going to see for an 8 o'clock
late
game
night midweek game, and that's one of the reasons I asked Andy about the weather. I was wondering if it was, you know, apparently it's not really bad or anything out there. You know, I thought, you know, you could have sleet or something like that here in March, but you just got a little cool weather.
And I'm showing
it's in the 50s today, and we've had some rain on and off, but nothing. Nothing heavy or anything like that. I don't think that would affect the crowd tonight.
Now Auburn, Andy, Auburn appears to be playing about as well as they have offensively here down the stretch, with a streak right now of three consecutive games where they've shot better than 40% from 3-point range.
Well, and I think part of that is an emergence may not be the right word. But the push offensively, I think we've seen from Denver Jones. And, you know, he's had some of his best games for Auburn of late.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him for our pregame show tonight, and I just asked him, I said, what's the difference for you? And he says he just feels more comfortable in the offense, and I think he feels the need to be more aggressive in this offense. And I think Auburn wants him to be aggressive looking for his shot. You know, we have seen Chaney Johnson, I think, has really stepped up.
Really has.
For Auburn, especially since the injury to Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
And even with Jalen back in the lineup, I think Chaney has taken a step forward for Auburn. We'll find out the effect of not having Leo Berman, because I think we can all agree that Leo was playing some of his best basketball.
He really was.
Especially from an offensive standpoint before the injury that occurred on Saturday. He wasn't just the Berminator shooting from the perimeter.
He
was getting to the basket for Auburn. And that makes his injury even more, all the more heartbreaking. I mean, his story is such a good one. I mean, you know, an industrial design major that was an outstanding student at Auburn, came to Auburn as a walk-on. He could have gone other places on scholarship, but came to Auburn as a walk-on, worked his way up, and made the team on a scholarship, and just was such an important part, still is an important part of this team. And you just hate that his season seemingly has come to a close as a result.
And there, of course, there at that same spot, you've seen CBM Chad Baker-Mazzara move into the starting lineup, and there's no question he has added to the offensive surge.
Well, he moved into the lineup after Jalen's injury.
Mm-hmm.
His first start was Georgia and has been in the starting lineup since. And he started with Jalen for the first time last Saturday.
Right.
I think, unless there's perhaps a change at point and they want to go to Trey rather than Aiden, I think this is the lineup you're going to see from Auburn perhaps for the rest of the season. But listen, Chad Baker-Mazzara is a terrific story at Auburn, and we all know about where he has played before and just what he means to this team. Offensively, defensively, I think he's established himself as a leader on this team. And he's a blast to watch. Man, he's fun to watch. I think he's really, really enjoying his first year playing for Auburn. And he's vitally important for this Auburn team to make a run in the SEC tournament, in the NCAA tournament. Guys like Chad Baker-Mazzara and Chaney Johnson and Denver Jones, those newcomers for Auburn, have to be a factor with Jani Broome and Jalen and Aiden and Trey and, you know, and others, and Chris Moore, who I think is still going to be an important cog, and perhaps even more so with Lior's
has
injury.
To be.
I think Chris gets even a few more minutes now that Lior's out.
Talking with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, tonight, a late night game. I mean, not late night or anything. We're not talking 10:30 start, but I mean an 8 o'clock start on the road. And Andy, I hear in the promos and everything, you're going to do the 1 o'clock baseball game tomorrow too, right?
I am. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I am. I'll be back. We're getting back late, but I'll be handling the play by play. Paul Ellen's going to join me. I'll get to team up with our buddy Paul Ellen.
Oh yeah.
On the call tomorrow at 1:00. So yeah. It's that time of year, you know. Basketball tonight, baseball tomorrow, Tiger Talk Thursday, baseball Friday, basketball Saturday, and baseball Sunday.
That's great. I mean, you know, you're not complaining about that. That is
no,
that's
I love
great
it.
To be able to do that. And you know, we were talking. You were just asking me a question. I had not seen the notes that George Nunley sent out about the matchup tomorrow. 1 o'clock start, so that means I can actually come by and hang out for a while there watching baseball. But there are a lot of familiar faces that will be making the trip into Auburn, so it's good that the weather looks nice and they're going to be able to get this ball game in with the Air Force Academy facing the Tigers.
Well, Air Force brings, I think, three
yes.
Auburn High School players in, including one of their leading hitters, and Bill, as it turns out, their starting pitcher, who has massive Auburn ties.
Oh, deep, deep Auburn ties that go back longer than any of us.
Right. I mean, his father was a catcher for Auburn. His grandfather is an absolute legend, the late Buddy Davidson. I can't imagine what Rick Davidson is feeling now.
Oh, yeah.
His son is back, and his son, Patrick, is, according to the notes, is slated to get the start tomorrow for the Air Force Academy against Auburn's Connor McBride.
That's got to be, you know, some of the thinking behind scheduling this game if you're Air Force, right? To have three Auburn High School graduates on the team, you know, give them a chance to go back home and play in front of excited families.
Come in and show the players at Auburn High right now how well things are going. Right. Keep the pipeline going.
Yeah, not only that, and I think that's part of it, but I think the bottom line, and I'm sure Butch has told you guys, as he's told me in interviews, you know, he talks about the toughness of this Auburn baseball schedule, and part of that strength of schedule is Air Force tomorrow and Austin Peay this Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. and Sunday.
Right.
I mean, these are really good baseball teams. These help Auburn's strength of schedule. Now, yes, is it a fabulous story that these young men, future leaders that are part of the Air Force Academy, are coming back to play? That's a fabulous story, and one that we will talk about tomorrow. And congratulations to those parents that are going to get to see their sons and friends come out and hopefully come out and be able to watch that game tomorrow at 1:00.
Yeah, I wonder how long this game, this matchup has been on the schedule, because thinking about the opportunity to see your youngster play when they're headed out to Colorado, I mean, it's this is great just to be able to drive across town and be able to watch this matchup. Hey, you're not kidding. Air Force Austin Peay, and then let's jump right into SEC play with four of the top teams in the country to get things started in conference play.
And even before conference play starts next weekend with Vanderbilt in Nashville, you play Troy on your way.
Yep,
you play Troy in outside Huntsville in Madison at the Toyota Field there. Which is always
great venue.
Well, it's a fabulous venue. It's a great matchup. It's a great matchup, Auburn and Troy there. And then you go to Nashville and you play in Vanderbilt. And Bill, of course, that's Nashville, also the site of the SEC basketball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn baseball opens its conference season at Vanderbilt. And Auburn's gymnastics team is involved in a quad meet in Nashville as well all next weekend.
Well, that'll have you do them all.
Well, you know, I told Butch, kind of tongue-in-cheek, I said, Butch, I don't want to do any of your baseball games in Nashville next weekend.
And?
Because if I don't, then I'm calling Auburn basketball through Sunday in the SEC tournament. Right. That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
However, if it is afforded to me, yes, then I will come over and join Brad the booth and call baseball. I will not do gymnastics. No one wants to see or hear that.
I
love that team, and I love Jeff Graba, but I would not offer anything to that broadcast.
It would be like when I did Auburn wrestling the last year. That may have been why it was the last year. No, Coach Dye had already decided that was it. Again, you mentioned it, busy time. Just let's hit some of the highlights of things that folks need to be checking for here among our family of stations.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And tonight it all starts at 7:30. Randall Dickey, Jacob Hillman join me on the call at 7:30 tonight. Paul will join me in the booth tomorrow at 1:00. Is Auburn, or actually at 12:45 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these games tonight and tomorrow on Wings 94.3. As Auburn plays host to Air Force Academy. Thursday, don't forget, Auburn women play their first game in the SEC tournament in Greenville, South Carolina. What a fabulous job Coach Jay has done. I think that she has put her team into the NCAA tournament, and they will play at 5:00 Central Time on Thursday against Arkansas. The winner gets LSU on Friday at the same time in Greenville. A Britt Bowen and Dr. Larry DeShera will have that call starting at 4:45 on Thursday. That's on AU 100, 100.3 FM. We will have Tiger Talk Thursday night at 6 at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Right now, the guest list includes Bruce Pearl, Butch Thompson, and Dylan Cardwell will join us Thursday night for Tiger Talk. Friday, of course, it's Auburn baseball against a really good Austin Peay team. That starts at 6. Brad and I will have the call at 5:45. They play, baseball plays at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on when women's basketball are playing, that game right now is scheduled for AU 100 with Brad and Paul Ellen starting at 12:45. We've got Auburn men's basketball in the regular season finale on Saturday evening. Sonny Smith and Jacob will join me on that call. And then, of course, we wrap things up on Sunday at 1 for the finale of Auburn and Austin Peay, and Brad and I will have that at 12:45
on
94.3. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say.
Can you start that over?
And that wraps up a relatively calm spring break.
Right, exactly. Spring break.
How about it? Great stuff, Andy. Really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. Have a great broadcast tonight, and probably see you tomorrow.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all. Take care. Have a great day.
Have a good one, Andy. Safe travels.
Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us here on the Tuesday Drive. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at
ESPN.com. Well, obviously, by the music, we are out of time here for hour number one. So that worked out well. Appreciate Andy Burcham being on with us. We've got Jake Crane coming up in hour number two. Your mic should be on.
The music is what I'm saying.
Okay. It's not too loud in mine.
That's a little loud. It's a little hot, but...
We talk plenty loud enough.
Yeah, we do.
It doesn't matter if the music's loud or not. Yeah, we're halfway done. Phones will be wide open. We'd love for you to join in as we head into hour number two.
We have some of the player audio if we can try to get it working. We'll see if we can make that happen, too.
We have
Luke Deal from last week.
There's multiple players. We'll see. Yeah, be good if we can get that working. May need that before the week's over. It is spring break. Stick with us. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive, Super Tuesday, and you can hear coverage. Coming up over
Company Men. A&I for Super Tuesday. Wings 94.3 for Auburn men's basketball.
That is right. Tonight. 7:30 is the pregame. 8 o'clock tip, Auburn and Missouri.
I mean, Andy went over it beautifully.
Oh, man, he had the whole thing.
But I mean,
it's all right off the top of his head,
there's
too.
So much of it. I mean, we've got...
Tonight, multiple things Thursday, Friday.
We've got baseball tomorrow,
Sunday.
A day game tomorrow that you'll
that
catch
is right.
on Wings
I like
94.3.
That.
Yeah, matinee, Auburn
Spring
Air
break,
Force.
Spring break, let's play a day game. Let's play an afternoon game against Air Force tomorrow with Auburn High alum and Auburn University legacy, Patrick Davidson. I mean, you know, dad I don't know what he called his grandfather, buddy.
I can appreciate the Auburn Air Force connection as well. As an Air Force legacy and the brother of an Air Force grad. So it's very cool. And the women's basketball tournament we're going to have that on AU 100. That's Thursday at 5. Auburn and Arkansas playing. Auburn narrowly lost to Arkansas in the regular season. A chance to avenge that one. Arkansas collapsing down the stretch.
Yeah, Auburn's playing well down the stretch.
This seems like an opportunity for Coach Jay to pick up. I think it would be her first win in the SEC tournament.
Win 20.
It would be win 20, and she appears to be on the correct side of the bubble right now. Auburn could have... they could have a tall task in the round of 32 or in the well they could have where Auburn is on the bubble right now in women's basketball, what is likely is if they win their 64 opponent, if they win their first round opponent, they will be playing a true road game in the round of 32 against a 2 seed or a 3 seed or a 4 seed, depending on. I mean, Auburn could work their way to the 8-9 line, and then you're playing a 1 seed on the road in the second round. So it's something women's basketball does to ensure big crowds.
Oh, yeah.
And cut down on the travel, and it can really stack the deck against some of the lower seeded teams. So that's a that's something Auburn will have to face down in the tournament, but making the tournament is the first step, and the Auburn women appear to be on the right side of the bubble. The men haven't been a bubble team all year.
The
men have been solidly in the NCAA tournament, and a lot of places, some of the more high-profile bracket folks have the Auburn men on the 5 line.
Yeah.
But I
saw one of the 5s, though, wasn't the worst thing in the world. It had... didn't it have Auburn in Dallas against the winner, I believe, of Charleston and San Diego State?
Well, I believe Dallas is one of the regional sites.
Okay,
I think Dallas, L.A., Detroit, and
yeah, okay. Well, it was somewhere that wasn't
Boston?
Terribly far. One site that had Auburn as a 4, though, had the 5 seed BYU, and it had
Salt Lake City.
Yeah,
Salt Lake City.
That would not be great.
No,
you wouldn't want to be that 4.
No, it's the. The two sites in the first weekend that are geographically favorable to Auburn are Memphis and Charlotte. And so those would be the two where if mm-hmm. Auburn was sent there, especially if they could work. Like if Auburn won out, I think they're probably a 3 playing in.
One out? I mean, you just win the next 2?
No. If Auburn.
One out and won the SEC title?
You think Auburn works
if Auburn
the way to
the
2 line?
If Auburn wins the SEC title, maybe they. I don't know that they're going to get above the 3. I don't think they can get above
but,
the 3.
But I think an SEC tournament champion Auburn that wins these 2
might
maybe be able to. But I think even if you're a 2 or a 3, regardless, I think they might be able to get a game in Memphis or Charlotte,
yes.
Which would be that's the prize there, because to be one of the top Southeastern teams and to play your first weekend there,
mm-hmm.
presumably you'd have a better draw and a better home crowd than you would playing in Brooklyn or Spokane or Salt Lake City, which are some of the, I think, the most common place Auburn is sent. I think Auburn is maybe the last 4 seed in the draw, which means you could just be the grab bag team sent wherever. And
yeah.
That could be, okay, Auburn and Wisconsin could be playing in Spokane, Washington, or something like that, very far away, just because they had to fill spots. And so yeah, that's something to watch for. On top of improving your, are you a 5 seed or a 4 seed or a 3 seed, it also impacts where they send you that first weekend of the NCAA tournament, which could matter for Auburn.
Speaking of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, we've got something big coming up.
Yeah. Thursday, which by the way is also opening day, the Thursday of the Sweet 16.
Yes.
Is the opening day for Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. Thursday, March 21st is the first day of the NCAA tournament round of 64, and we will be at the Plaza Bar in Midtown on the on Opelika Road.
Yeah, I mean on the line and the drive. So, Jacob, Uncle T-Bone,
Bill
and Dan.
We're letting Uncle T-Bone out of his cage, letting him off the leash,
yeah.
letting him go. And they, how about beer bucket specials, $1 wings, NCAA tournament action on all the screens. So a lot of cool stuff. We're doing that.
Gotta love the first weekend.
Yeah, from two to six
is great.
But
the first weekend, it's like from 11 in the morning until midnight, there's basketball.
There's a chance Auburn's in action either shortly before or shortly after that window, too, right? The first day of the tournament. Auburn's going to play either Thursday or Friday mm-hmm. in the NCAA tournament. And, we could see they take like the local news break. Right.
Right. But you usually have some games that are going to go till like 5:30, and the next one start at 6.
Right. So
you don't get much time.
So we could be recapping the Auburn game while we're there at the Plaza. We could be previewing that night's game at the Plaza. So it should be
and go ahead and make plans to join us, and that is just 2 weeks from this Thursday.
That is a and I'll Bill, if you have not tried the Warburger That is a tasty cheeseburger they got going there at the Plaza. Maybe get an on air reaction or an on air review to a Warburger.
Be glad
there,
to. We're glad to give that reaction.
They're very proud of their signature burger there at the Plaza Bar. We may have to sample that as well.
All right, we are underway. Obviously, here in hour number two of the Tuesday Drive, in the second hour of the show, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. We'd love for you to join in. You can call us on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Let's get to the Drive hotline, and Mitch is up first. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys. I heard y'all talking about Pensacola Beach. I was actually there today, not on the beach, but
I'm going to Flounders. I'm going to Flounders for dinner. One of these.
Okay. If you're on Pensacola Beach, you pretty much days, yeah.
That's one of the must hits. So
that is a classic. Yes.
Yeah. There's a couple more places I can recommend.
Cafe if we Nola, win, if we win Friday night, Mitch, I may have to pop into McGuire's. I may have to wander over because we're at the arena.
You're just around the corner.
We're at the arena Friday night, Pensacola Bay Center.
Always love the folks waving to you on the bus.
Last game of the night, and if Troy wins, they don't play again until midday Sunday. The Troy women. So I may have to find my way downtown and sample. Seville, of course, but also possibly.
Oh yeah,
possibly a little.
A lot of things are still the same at Seville. Haven't changed in years and years. What else you got, Mitch?
Well, let's see. If you're going to be downtown, I recommend Graffiti Pizza.
Of course,
mm-hmm. That's good. There's a pizza joint close to Hooters on Pensacola Beach. If you want, I think they sell it by the slice. I can't remember the name of it, but anyway,
the little pizza place out on the boardwalk on the Sound is really good too.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's really good. That is. Yes, they do sell it by the slice.
Yeah,
but I've never bought just one slice.
And I don't know if it's still around. There was a Graffiti. Graffiti had a location in Destin.
Yeah,
near the
right.
near the old Harry T's building, and there's a callback. So I've not been to the Pensacola location, but I've had Graffiti plenty of times.
Yeah, it's right down from Seville. It's right there where I think 200 South, the Blend Lounge, Taco Agava. They're all my customers, so I'm kind of plugging them.
Wonderful.
And then again on the beach, since I'm plugging one, Casino Beach Bar and Grill, and then Drift, which is above it. They're all in the same building. That's a little bit more. Well, Drift's a little bit more upscale. Casino Beach is, just right on the beach. So anyway, you were talking about the toll. Now, if you don't have a Sun Pass going to Pensacola Beach, they just you don't stop anymore. They just charge your
plate. Pack. Yeah.
Yeah, your plate. Now, if you want to avoid it, which I don't recommend, you can go over the bridge in Navarre to the beach and then cut through the state park. But the speed limit's like 25 miles an hour, and there's cops everywhere.
And it's you're winding very slowly through the dunes.
We were talking about it earlier in the show, Mitch. It's about an extra half hour. If you're coming to where I'm going from Auburn, if you don't want to take any toll roads, it's about 4 hours 15 minutes. And if you use the toll roads a little closer to 3.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys were talking about I didn't realize there were some former Auburn high school players.
I didn't realize there were that many.
Yeah, three former Auburn three Auburn high school grads on the Air Force baseball team.
Yeah, and you mentioned Rick Davidson. I went to high school with him, and I didn't realize he had a son at the Air Force Academy. That's great, me being retired Air Force, Dan, your brother being in the Air Force, your father being in the Air Force, that's kind of cool. So,
my brother's out in New Mexico, Mitch. I don't know if you ever spent much time out there with the...
Where's he at in New Mexico?
I couldn't tell you much more than just New Mexico. Air Force Base in New Mexico, I think near Albuquerque.
I think that's Holloman. I'd have to check. No, I didn't spend a whole lot of time in New Mexico. Arizona, California, Nevada, but no, we really didn't go to New Mexico that much. But anyway.
He's enjoying himself. I just talked to him a couple days ago.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, hey, guys, that's all I had. Just, you know, little tidbits there about Pensacola Beach, because I'm there about 1 or 2 days every week.
I hear you.
So. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Appreciate it, Mitch. I grew up going to Pensacola, 40 miles north of there, so. And still, we still try to go back if we can most years.
Yeah, you pop down there every once in a while.
All right. So three players. We mentioned Patrick Davidson, the starting pitcher for Air Force tomorrow. Jay Thomason's leading Air Force in batting, has started every ball game. Walker Zapp has also started 9 games as the catcher. So you may have an Auburn High battery tomorrow, and 3 Auburn High alums.
Amazing.
in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and here we are. We carry Auburn High School baseball on the radio here at Auburn Network. We're going to carry Auburn University baseball on the radio. So we're going to have those guys as Auburn High School Tigers, and now as the visiting opponent from the Air Force Academy. Three of them on one team. So welcome back, guys. Hopefully the weather cooperates tomorrow and Auburn get that game in with little difficulty.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number 2. You want to run some of the Luke Deal?
Yeah, you want to try to get Luke Deal working?
Yeah, when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Time to churn up some more yardage on the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew, hopefully back tomorrow, as he wasn't feeling too well, so we told him, stay home, get feeling better, and hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. While we have a little time, I know it's spring break. A lot of folks are either out of town listening or, busy. So as we mentioned a little earlier, I had a chance to spend some time with some Auburn football players this past Thursday. Hugh Freeze spoke to the media. Then we had an opportunity to talk to 5 different Auburn players. Dan spent a good bit of time with one in particular.
That's right. We had Luke Deal, the veteran Auburn tight end, who was somebody who's he's a captain again. You know what I mean? This guy is sitting at the head of the table at the leadership council for this team, and it's talking about his game. I mean, he's been through so many spring practices that he's got a little bit to share about how his game is changing. But players like that, and you know what I'm talking about here, Bill, where they tend to be the best source of information on younger players,
right?
Who's breaking through? Who is somebody who folks need to keep an eye on? And Luke was able to name some names there. So yeah, you want to run a
let's hear some comments from Auburn super senior.
Let's see how this sounds.
Spring, just harping on leadership. We've got a council just directly supposed to drive the culture. I mean, that's the only thing that we're there for. And we've met for hours and hours and days and days. And a lot of people don't realize how much time you put in whenever you are trying to drive the culture. So with the emphasis that we put on it this year, it's a lot more responsibility. But I think it's. You already see some positive effects. You see some guys that normally would not be bought in right now that are bought in, that want to do the right thing, that are changing their habits and certain things that they do. And that's refreshing and that's rewarding if you're putting in that kind of work, which is it's a lot right now.
You said you guys put together a presentation. What was kind of involved in that presentation?
Yeah, basically just the things that we believe in. What we want our core values to be as a team, as players. We obviously have the ones that Coach Freeze tells us about and that we believe in as well, and we're trying to mesh both of those things, and then also just standards that go with it. We have the definition of what our core values are, and then the standards underneath it. And this is how you get it done. This is how you're supposed to do it. And if you don't do it, this is what happens. So just putting in standards in place and holding each other accountable. It's a huge word, but oftentimes people can say you're holding each other accountable, but you're not really. And the toughest thing about that is if one person does it, then the other person's got to do it. If one person does it the right way, you can't say, oh, well, this guy, he can't do this, because we're all a team and we're looking out for each other. And guys with that vision in mind, those guys are really driven right now, and they're changing some things around, which is really positive.
Luke, we're told the Culture Council doles out stadiums as a punishment for maybe being tardy. How are you guys doing with that? How are the young guys handling kind of the new culture?
Yeah, I mean, we don't think of it very much as a punishment. We call it an enrichment, which is we're being enriched. So just trying to make each other better. That's all it is. Just when you don't do something, there's always consequences in life. You guys know that. I mean, you guys with families, and you know, people are dependent on you, and us with Auburn football being the huge brand that it is, and so many people relying on us, you definitely have some people depending on you, so you have to do the right thing, and that's what we're trying to drive here. And yeah, we're trying to enrich guys, which is good.
Early impressions of Derek Nix coming
in. Great energy, awesome energy. I love it. The offense, everybody in this league has a little bit of the same this and that, different tweaks, you know, from different families that you're in. But I love the way that we're putting in the offense. Everybody's on the same accord. Everybody's speaking the same language. And he's sharp. He is sharp, and he's high energy, and it's really fun to play for him right now.
Talked about, you know, people being dependent on you and a family. I mean, how are you kind of, obviously, you guys are expecting, your family's expecting. I mean, just kind of what does that look like for you in spring ball? I mean, early in your wife's pregnancy, and I mean, I imagine what you're going to have a baby right towards the start of the season, right?
Yep. Due date is right around fall camp, so that's perfect timing. But, yeah, we're just taking it day by day. We're excited, we're blessed, and we're just thankful that we are able to receive this blessing and still do the things that I love and the things that my wife loves. She loves this place too. So being able to have Auburn football and my family all at the same time, I wouldn't have had that chance if I didn't come back for a sixth year, which feels like a 12th year, but I wouldn't have had that chance. So I'm blessed and thankful for those opportunities, and I can't wait for my baby boy to be born.
Oh, it's a boy.
Yeah, it is a boy. All right. Yep. August 15th is due date. So.
You got to be there for a big moment for Brandon recently.
I did. Right. Yeah, so he got engaged, and I'm not quite sure what the wedding plans are. You know, the guy doesn't usually do much of that. We kind of get to stay out on that. But, yeah, I'm proud of him. Jackie is his now fiance, and she's an awesome girl. And there are some big things happening right now with some of the few old heads left around. You know, mostly new faces, but some of the old guys are experiencing some pretty cool things.
Where have you seen growth and development? Peyton came in having played a lot of college football already, but this is his first full offseason as a quarterback on this team. Where have you seen growth and development with Peyton Thorne?
Yeah, I mean, ever since he got here, I was always just admiring his work ethic. I don't think that was ever in question, and he's got some really good talent, and he works really hard. The thing that I've seen mostly is his leadership qualities and his able to speak out and to have relationships with guys. He's developing deep relationships with people on this team, and that's what you got to do as a leader. You can't just bark out orders and expect people to follow you. If they don't trust you, then they're not going to do that. And he's done a great job with that. I mean, he's been one of those core leaders for our team that, I mean, that's what you need out of a quarterback. So that's probably the biggest thing I've seen.
Parker, coming in here, a young kid, Coach was saying he can make all the throws, strong arm. You're so much more older than him, but how have you been able to kind of help ingratiate him into this offense and into this team culture?
Yeah, I think quarterbacks are a little different, right? But young guys in general, they just need somebody to make sure they're good. Just make sure they're on the right path. I mean, Rico is in our room, and he's a little bit younger too. So you just have to make sure that these guys are understanding it. And it's not in a certain way, but we've been through it a couple times. I'm sure some of those older quarterbacks are in there helping him too. So like you said, he's got everything you need in a quarterback. I mean, he's got a cannon. He can run the football. He's big, strong, physical, and And we got a good quarterback room that's it's going to be a fun battle to watch because you've got some guys who are already, I know it's day one, day two, whatever we had, but already doing some pretty cool things.
Luke, you said it yourself. You've been through this a few times. What's the most valuable thing that you've learned as an athlete and a person since your first spring practice until now?
Well, I would say spring ball is really important. There are aspects of spring ball that I don't like, right? I mean, I'm an older guy. Some of the grind of spring ball and then having a long break and then getting back into it's kind of weird. But the biggest thing that I've seen is mentally it is such an advantage. I mean, if you think about it, you have an entire section of the year just dedicated to learning an offense, mastering your craft, doing your individual stuff, your technique, your all this other stuff. So that's the biggest thing, is just to not take it for granted, no matter how mundane it can be with no game coming up. I mean, that's not as fun when you don't have somebody to look forward to. But
what does Rico bring to the tight end room?
Rico's fun, and that's what you need to be in our room, because we are not a shy room. We are not a quiet room. So he fits right in. I mean, we goof off and laugh, and we like to joke, and everybody on the team likes to say the tight ends are the goofiest and this and that, but he fits right in, and he's, like I said, he's learning just like the rest of us, and we're all going to just keep on building relationships and getting closer and trying to move on day by day.
Any young players, it's early, so yeah. Has anyone caught your eye with how ready to contribute they seem this early in the
Yeah, I mean, they like you said, I mean, it's early. I've seen a lot of guys show up. Obviously, the one that a lot of people are looking at is Cam Coleman, and he's looked good from what I've seen. We're splitting up practices too, going one on one field, one the other, just splitting in half. So I don't get to see everybody, but he's looked pretty good to me on film.
I'm curious about the receivers that stuck around from last year. Yeah. Four holdover receivers, Corey, Camden, Caleb, and Jay Fair. Have you been able to see much of those guys in the off season?
Yeah, and they're all working a lot. I know Jay Fair has taken steps toward leadership, which is really cool. He's become a pretty good leader for that room, which is something you need as one of the few guys who stayed in that room. You know, you got all these new faces coming in and out, and new OC, this and that. You need somebody who can kind of keep everybody together, and I feel like he's doing that pretty well.
I was going to say, as someone who's been recognized as a leader the last couple of seasons on the team, are there younger players that you see where you see leadership characteristics, or you see guys becoming the next generation of leaders on this, you know, on this summer football team?
Yeah, I mean, we were actually talking about that the other day. I mean, there are guys who are so ready to become leaders right now. I actually just said it out there. There's guys who are seeing some of the leaders on our team and noticing that that's what they want to be. That's what they want to do. I mean, we've got guys who really need it, too. I mean, you got guys who are in rooms that may not have a leader. And they, like you said, the young guys are really, really impressing me right now. This class, some of these transfers that have come in, they're really impressive in terms of wanting to be leaders and moving toward that. Because some of them, even the ones that played here last year, were not doing the right thing last year, and now they're trying to be leaders, which is really, really neat to see.
That was Auburn tight end Luke Deal talking about some of the other players who have taken steps forward this offseason, meeting with the media on Thursday, one of several players who spoke to the media at the end of Auburn's first week of spring practice this season.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break here on the Tuesday Drive. On the other side, we're joined by Jake Crane, so stick with us here on the Drive.
Live election coverage is only on News Talk WANI.
Now, more of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Actually, if you call right now, I probably won't answer because, look, it's enough that I'm getting through. I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job running the board here.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's one of the few times I heard as we're coming back. It's with Bill and Dan during basketball season. It's not always. I mean, you're on the road so darn much, and you're going to be gone for the rest of the week now.
January and February are tough because I'm out. You know, in a home week, I'm going to miss one day, and then on a road game slate, I can miss three or four.
Yeah.
I do love doing it, and I really appreciate the opportunity for Troy. But I'm also really grateful that the station is so understanding, and that Don Dunn has stepped up and has jumped in to be there as much as he can. I am looking forward to being here a little bit more once the season quiets down.
It is a fun time, though. I mean, we're coming; it's crunch time in basketball as we're getting ready for postseason basketball, and we've got spring football practice going on. Baseball's underway. It is a great time, and who better than Jake Crane of Crane and Company to be joining us here on The Drive and talking about things. It is literally The Drive with Bill and Dan. Drew's out sick today, so Bill and Dan, here's Jake. Join us. Jake, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Bill, you're a five-tool guy. Five-tool player, 100%, still got it.
Well, I had it maybe. I don't know that I ever really had it, but had all the tools. But yeah, we try to get by. Dan and I can convince people that we know what we're doing, though. That's a big part of it.
For sure, without a doubt. But no, I mean, look, it's a great time. It's the best time of year when football's not being played. I think that's the best way to put it. A lot going on. I do real quickly want to give a shout out to the Auburn women's basketball team. I think what Coach Harris has done has been really impressive this
really
year.
Has.
They're playing their best ball here down the stretch, and good to see that program getting back to their winning ways.
And I was skeptical. I watched them a couple games early on in the season. I was skeptical that they, you know, I didn't think they had the makings of a tournament team. And the way they've been able to prove me wrong and pick up quality wins. I mean, I was at the LS. I thought they were a tournament team after they beat LSU at home.
Well,
but it's been. It's been an up and down year, but they've played so well down the stretch, and now she's got them looking like they can pick up 20 wins for the first time in her tenure and go to the tournament in year three, which is huge for Coach Jay.
Yeah, they've been a team that defensively they've been solid. Offensively, they're getting better and better. Honestly, Scott Grayson making all conference was announced as well. So yeah, things are definitely headed in the right direction there. Now, all right, men's basketball, Auburn got past the toughest, you know, on paper, the toughest of its three remaining games with that win over Mississippi State Saturday. Now they play a winless Missouri team, and they have senior day against Georgia. Should be no problem, but that's why you play them.
Man, look, this one makes me nervous tonight, Bill. This one, the team's 0-for in SEC play, and look, Auburn is the better team, but it's not like Missouri's been out of a ton of these games.
No.
I mean, Coach Pearl brought it up in the press conference. I mean, you look at a lot of these losses with 5 minutes to go, that they're a possession away or a couple possessions out of taking the lead in some pretty impressive games against good opponents. So, look, SEC basketball nowadays, I mean, it's incredible how far it's come, but Auburn's a mature team that's shooting the ball well right now. I hated to see what happened to Lior. Chris Moore's the guy that's got to step up and start giving them something on the offensive side. But if they go play well, they'll win. You can't get caught up in the emotion and try and do something different than you've done before.
Jake, we're 2 weeks away from the play-in games. We're just a little more than 2 weeks away from the first day of the NCAA tournament round of 64. We don't know what the brackets look like, and so you're not going to be held to this or anything. If the current projections held as far as who's going to be seated where, who are a couple of teams you could see yourself picking to make deep runs in this year's NCAA tournament? Who's got the makings of a team that can go pretty far in this year's draw?
Are you talking about like from the top or maybe a sleeper?
And, you know what? Anybody. If you want to start at the top and give me a couple of the top teams you like the most and maybe a sleeper too.
Yeah, well, you look at the one seeds, the projected one seeds right now. I still don't trust Purdue's guard defensively. I mean, this has been the same movie we've seen. Yeah, Zach Edey's a monster, but they're going to run into a team that has old guards at some point. I have a hard time trusting Purdue. I don't think they're that much different than they've been before. I really like Houston. They're a football team that just happens to play basketball. They got guys that can make big-time clutch shots in big moments. They're very mature. You look at UConn, obviously the team that ran through the tournament last year, but kind of on the periphery, you know, if we're going to take Auburn out of it, I think Florida is a team that really has a little bit of everything.
Yep.
Like that could be a big problem with old guards. That's what wins games in March. I mean, you look at what they've brought in, the Walter Clayton from Iona, really good player, pulling, really good player, but they're long.
Yeah, they rebound so well. Yeah.
Well, they've got everything. It's just defensively they're young, so they're just still getting used to how to play together. Marquette's an interesting team to me once Colet gets back from that oblique. They've got some guys that can make some big-time plays, and Igdaru's a problem. As far as sleepers, there's a couple out there. App State, a team that beat Auburn, is a team to watch out for that they could make some noise. And then South Florida, I know they're ranked, but, man, I like the way they play.
I think if App State or – and I'm not ruling out Scott Cross's Troy Trojans either, but I think if App State or JMU wins the Sun Belt, they are a handful. JMU's got a case to be a bubble team, even if they don't win the Sun Belt tournament. I don't think they're getting in. I think that's a one-bid league this year, but both Madison and App State could be tricky. Teams at the top, I mean, how do you not like UConn, right? I mean, they bring back everyone from the team that rolled through the tournament last year. I was saying earlier in the show, Jake, I think I would have a hard time. Select few teams I would feel comfortable picking to beat Tennessee on a neutral floor right now. With
the only thing that everybody will say about Tennessee is, yeah, but Rick Barnes doesn't, can't win the big one, can't win the one to get them super, super deep. But, man, this is a good-looking team.
And you, Bill, pointed out that there have been plenty of other coaches where people said that about that
Jim
coach.
Jim Boeheim was around a long, long time.
Roy Williams.
And people going, he can't win the big one.
Yeah, people, I mean, there are plenty of coaches who couldn't win the big one until they did.
What's been Tennessee's problem in the NCAA tournament? They've gotten in there. They're always really good on defense. They always play really hard. It's they go through these ruts offensively, and the other team takes advantage of it. But now that you got Dalton Knecht, he can get you out of that rut at any point in time. It's one thing to be relying on Vescovi, who I don't think is a bad player, to go out there and try and get you 25. It's another thing when Dalton Knecht is hitting shots from the logo with his eyes closed, and you have to literally triple-team him, and he can drive, and he can pass. So I think Tennessee found the void that they were missing, unlike a Purdue team, that to me is the exact same team that we've seen get bounced from the tournament like a ping pong ball.
Two other teams near the top, Jake. I mean, Carolina at their best. I think Carolina's got the team that got a team that can beat just about anybody. They've dealt with inconsistency this year, but they seem to be rounding into form coming down the stretch. And I'm still traumatized as a UCLA guy. Caleb Love, when he played at Carolina, had about as good a half as I've ever seen in the NCAA tournament against UCLA. Helped carry Carolina to the championship game that year. He's going to win the Pac-12 Player of the Year award. He's been sensational at Arizona this year. And when you got a guy like that who can take over a game with a pretty good Arizona team around him, I know they flopped in the tournament last year, and there's going to be skepticism.
Arizona's been an all or nothing team historic.
Yeah, and they got a team.
I don't trust them.
No, I understand. You shouldn't based on the track record, but they have a team that can. I mean, the players suggest. I mean, the roster suggests they could go really, really far. But it's. I think people are going to be doubting whether or not they. Whether or not it's the same old Arizona.
Well, it's defensively. I worry for them. That's the thing. I mean, they could lose the shootout. I watched it happen the other night. It's the same thing with Kansas. It's amazing how you can be 9-7 in your own conference and be ranked 12th in the country. I know the Big 12 is really good at basketball, but to me, that's absolutely laughable on its face when you look at some of the disrespect that the SEC gets, in my opinion, when it comes to the AP poll. But I tell you, another team, Kentucky, if they can just be okay defensively, mm-hmm. they're one of the most explosive offenses in the country. If they're just okay defensively, I mean, Shepard and Dillingham and Reeves. And then if Edwards continues to figure it out, I mean, they got that big Yugoslavian or whatever down low that just has the best hands I've ever seen. So they can be a problem, but Cal screwed up somehow.
Well, and then there's Alabama, which is the same. I mean, it's sort of the same story that you're just talking about. They are so dangerous offensively. They are the number one offensive team in the country, but they give up a lot most of the time.
Everything Jake just said about Arizona is probably true about Alabama, right, Jake?
Yeah, you better make shots. And I saw a stat the other day, I think it may have been Jimmy Dykes when he was talking about it, was when Alabama, and they really haven't made a deep run, but when they've made their kind of semi-runs, their best teams, they've been in the top five in the country defensively. This is not that
right.
team. And here's the thing. They're a one-trick pony, and it's a hell of a trick. But, you know, just like with Arizona, what happens when you get in a rock fight? Look at all the teams that Alabama has played that have played defense and kept them below their scoring average. They've lost most of them, including at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, so here we come down the stretch in the SEC. Tennessee with a one-game lead. Not exactly. I mean, man, they've got to prove that they're the best team, as they've got South Carolina and Kentucky here to wrap things up, while Alabama's on the road, as you mentioned, down in Florida tonight. Auburn's in great position if they take care of business to at least get the double bye. And who knows with the craziness that we've seen.
Look, I mean, And they're not just astronomical, you know, odds, but there's a decent possibility we could end up with a five-way tie for the SEC title in basketball. You know, look, again, Auburn has to handle business down the stretch, that not only just, you know, because the other team's math is bad, but you want to be playing well going into, you know, postseason play. They've been shooting the ball really well lately. You want to continue to kind of rise as we get further, because that's what it's about. It's not if you get hot, it's when you get hot. And I think Auburn, when you look at complete teams that can win in the most ways, teams that can win shootouts, teams that can win rock fights, teams that can win the in-between, I think defense and rebounding travels on neutral court NCAA tournament teams. They're typically lower scoring. So I'm going to if Auburn can just shoot well and continue to shoot well at the free throw line, obviously they're good enough to really do a lot of things. Good front court, good back court as well. The point guards are coming on, so you know let's hope.
Yeah, if they could get anything resembling the Aiden Holloway that we saw in the second half against Georgia, then Auburn's a team nobody wants any part of.
That and if Chaney keeps coming on, that dude's figures it out. He's a nightmare. He's like that tight end that is too big to be covered by safeties and DBs, but he's too fast to put the will on him. Like he's a problem.
Interesting. I mean, Bruce had said in the preseason that Chaney, and he said it a couple of times since, that Chaney Johnson is the best athlete on the team. People, you know, roll their eyes. But Dylan Cardwell told us last Thursday here on The Drive that Chaney Johnson was the best player on the team in the preseason, but when things got off to a slow start, he sort of doubted making that jump from Division II. You can see it in the last few ball games. He has he has a world of ability, and he's a guy that, you know, Auburn will rely very heavily on next year. But man, that's nice to see that coming down the stretch.
If you remember early in the season, Chaney's jumper wasn't falling
right
early, and I think that also would shake a guy's confidence. And you know, sometimes we've seen it with a D2 player, Jake. But you know, in our conversation with Dylan, he's mentioned how the mid-major players that jump to the SEC, not only do they have something to prove because they weren't viewed as power conference kids coming out of high school, they've also had time to refine their games. They've been able to polish their game at the mid-major level, in Chaney's case at the D2 level, and now he's coming in and facing off against players that are in their first or second year of college basketball, in some cases, that don't have the veteran know-how and the you know the grizzled edge to their game that Chaney Johnson does.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's not the same. Division II is like high school, but there's a jump, right? And I'm sure when he's in Division II, not only is he humongous, I mean, Chaney Johnson is huge. This isn't some, you know, 6'3" guy running around out there. He was probably more athletic than a lot of even the threes and maybe even some of the guards there. And it takes a while when that physicality matches that athleticism, but again, he's grown from it. Some guys run to it, some guys run away from it. And look, it just takes a little bit of confidence, right? And once those first few jumpers fell in, I really like his game with the his back to the basket,
yeah,
too. I think he can really do some things there. And then defensively, to me, when I watch him, is where he's made his biggest jump as a player, because it looked like he was still unsure of himself early. But it's amazing, Bill. What do they say? That offense improves? Man, it has some type of just magical effect on that defense.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It is indeed a fun time, as we have so many sports overlapping. Auburn's on spring break, so no spring football news. But I know you guys are covering it. Covering everything. Let everybody know what all you got going here at Crane and Company, and how, of course, if they haven't, I don't know why, but if they haven't accessed it, how they can.
Yeah, look, we cover the whole gamut, do live call-ins. We have a live chat that we take questions from as well. I had Tim Brando on today talking college football and college basketball. Obviously, some of the crazy NFL news as well going down there. But, yeah, it's live each weekday morning. Easiest way to find us is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. If you can't catch us live, it stays on there all day. And, yeah, we have a good time.
Absolutely. And we had a great time. We always have a good time when we get to spend some time with Jake. Thanks a lot, man. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you again next time.
All right, guys. Let's handle business tonight.
Yeah, just take care. TCB.
Appreciate it, Jake. Great stuff.
All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes here on the Tuesday Drive. Been a fun show. Our thanks to Andy Burcham joining us in hour number one. And, of course, don't forget, coming up tonight, 7:30 is the airtime, 8 o'clock tip over on Wings 94.3 for Auburn-Missouri basketball. And then Jake Crane, who just joined us.
Wings 94.3 with the game tonight, Auburn men's basketball, Auburn and Missouri. Tomorrow, Wings will have Auburn and Air Force baseball, some matinee baseball.
That is right. That is a 12:45 airtime, 1 o'clock first pitch.
We will have women's basketball on Thursday with Auburn and Arkansas from Greenville, Auburn baseball this weekend, Auburn men's basketball this weekend with Georgia.
What a week. It is a busy spring break, if you will. I mean, good time. I mean, so many things going on, and Auburn more than just competitive in all these as sports.
Yeah, a really exciting really exciting time. So you're not going to want to you're going to want to stay tuned to ESPN 106.7 and the Auburn Network family of stations, because we're going to have a lot of Auburn coverage these next couple of days and weeks.
Dan, have a good rest of spring break week over in Atlanta before you head down to the beach.
Again, shout out to All Elite Wrestling for hooking me up. AEWTIX.com is how you can get tickets to tomorrow night's event in Duluth or Thursday night's event in Duluth. You can watch it on TBS tomorrow night. That's AEW Dynamite. You can watch AEW Collision Saturday nights on TNT. And looking forward to that. And then the Sun Belt Tournament in Pensacola. TroyTrojans.com/watch if you want to listen to my call Friday night of the Troy game. The game will be on ESPN Plus as well if you want to check that out. Troy against TBD in the Sun Belt Tournament. We'll find out the opponent tomorrow.
We're all hoping that Drew is better and back here in the studio tomorrow. Don Dunn will join me. It is the Wednesday Drive. So, yeah, we'll be able to look back at basketball and baseball. And we will do that and more, and hope you'll join us. But we're out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.